It's Wednesday, July 25th. In case you didn't watch yesterday, the plague sweeping through our offices. Wendell's on his sixth or seventh strawberry candy.
Oh yeah, sorry for the noise. So,
thankfully, Zero Straw sent us a 5-pound bag of strawberry candies as a joke for our Twitch anniversary.
Oh my god, I didn't get sick until I started eating the candy that the Twitch streaming...
Well, I ate the candy too, though.
Okay.
And Krista didn't.
Well, I do have a polonium sensitivity, so maybe...
Halva. What did you think about the halva? It was weird, wasn't it?
It was weird. It wasn't bad, though. I mean,
it was dry.
I would probably eat it on toast for breakfast.
It was like sugary sand. I don't think you could spread it.
You don't think? I think I could probably get it on toast. It was like extra dry toast.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and make an admission here. I get such a sense of glee.
I think anybody that watches the Level 1 news would know that.
When it comes to crushing the dreams of the EV fanboys. And boy, are they vocal. They've got a lot to say. So I front-loaded the Tesla stories. I'll admit it. So maybe bad news. Tesla will be the first automaker to lose the federal tax credit.
There have been a lot of comments on this that is misinformation in our... story.
Right. The first one is, it is not when you do the paperwork. It is when you take delivery of the vehicle.
According to the IRS.
So, the Obama rules said you can get the full credit for 200,000 cars. Turns out Tesla has already at least, you know, done the paperwork for its 200,000th car. So they're going to start tapering off into 2019.
Well, you have to take delivery... The law has kicked in. So as long as you take delivery of your Tesla by December 31st, 2018, you get the full tax credit. But if Tesla can't give you your car before then, you don't take delivery of it. It's a problem.
That's right. And
at least according to everything that we've read online.
And when it comes to the $35,000 Model 3, not likely. Not likely you're going to get that this year. So... you're going to miss out on the $75,000 tax credit.
Well,
or $7,500.
Musk is still saying that they're exponentially going to increase production, but he's been saying that for a long time.
The big, I didn't include it because it does seem like a non-story, but the big thing this week was did you see the drone footage of the parking lot? Hmm. There's a parking lot of just a sea of Teslas somewhere that they found.
Hmm.
And Tesla responded and said, that's just part of our, like, fulfillment supply chain. But a lot of people are like, well, if people are waiting for them, why are they sitting in this parking lot?
Mm.
So, but that might be true. I mean,
they must all have some sort of terrible problem.
Well, that's the, you know, the short sellers are being like, yeah, it's because these are, what do they call that? It was like factory something.
Didn't I see that? This isn't one of the Fallout video games. So like, there was this quest in one of the Fallout video games where like you had to, like, go from Mr. House to, like, the robot factory, and then, like, you activated all the robots. Maybe it's like that. The parking lot of all the Teslas. You need the poker chip or something to go activate all the Teslas.
I don't think that would be good. It's combat vehicles. Maybe. I don't know. Well, more bad news for Tesla. And this is not coming from me. This is coming from J.P. Morgan.
Tesla shares are going to plunge more than 40% before the end of the year. I don't know. JP Morgan also, like, predicted Bitcoin and whatever. Maybe I trust them so little after that silver debacle that it makes me want to go buy Tesla shares.
Well, forget silver debacle. How about the housing debacle? were a big part of that.
The housing debacle was not super complicated, but it is sort of complicated. But with the silver thing, they were literally like, don't do this with silver. But then they themselves were doing this exactly what they told people not to do with silver, which is
and hoarding
so duplicitous.
Hoarding the physical metal
while
destroying the paper price.
You want to buy the certificates. You don't need the metal. You want the metal.
You're right that, you know, like, I'm no huge fan of Tesla, but I'm way less of a fan of JP Morgan. So I'm not sure how to take this one. But they're saying that because of the money burn and because of the, you know, losing the rebate, and all these different factors, they're saying that Tesla's going to hit a wall. And one of the big parts of it is, and I kind of agree with this one, Tesla has been without a competitor for a very long time. And now we're seeing other electric vehicles that are going to start coming onto the market in 2019.
I have seen a lot of very impressive stuff from Tesla in terms of like their battery technology. So the competitors may not really be there in terms of like the battery technology. but I don't think that Tesla has been adding innovation elsewhere in their vehicle. So I think their competition is catching up as much as anything.
And those people already know how to make cars.
Yeah.
So you might get a nicer car from them. But who knows? I would not, we do not, you know, disclaimer, don't make any trades based on information that you get from the Level 1 News.
Because we don't know what the hell we're talking about. I'll tell you that right now.
But I am not a short. I do not hold any Tesla positions. You have to always disclose if you do news about a...
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have any Tesla stock either, so...
Well, Germany. Germany is not waiting to take away your rebate. They're saying not only is there going to be no rebate...
You got to pay it back.
You got to give your money back.
I did not read this in my... twice warmed over yesterday's gravy state.
It's not black and white, and Tesla has responded, but who do you trust? So here's the deal. Germany had this deal where you could get this money back, but it had to be for a non-luxury version of an electric vehicle, right? I guess the thought process is if you're buying a $60,000 car, you don't need a tax rebate, right?
Seems reasonable.
So Tesla said, oh, don't worry. We've got this one version of the Model S that's like this base price. It totally adheres to this thing. But then they would sort of like sell the customer the car. And then they'll be like, okay, now that that transaction's done, do you want to add on all these features that every car needs, you know? And they didn't count that as part of the sticker price of the car. So the German government found out about that. And they were like, no, you're giving all that back.
But, I don't know how I feel about that.
But Tesla has pledged they're going to pay all the stuff back.
Well, that's a pretty nice.
It's a good way of dealing with goodwill.
Yeah. But you know, imagine a future where cars actually are that modular. Because I know when I've gone to buy a car, and it's like, you want how much for a DVD player, or how much for power windows? You guys are crazy.
Yeah, in this case, it was like backup camera and some of the automation package, which is literally just software.
Yeah. So I don't understand why. And you could already have added that after the fact anyway for just the software.
Yeah. So they also claim that they are going to have an option package in Germany that will adhere without the trickery.
Hmm.
So going forward, people could still do it.
Neat. Prime Day was last week.
That was it was a big story. Do you remember how long it was actually down? I know at least 30 minutes, but I think they fixed it pretty quickly after that.
It was super intermittent. I actually ordered a bunch of stuff, and I just hammered reload a bunch, and it was fine. I was also able to use Firebug to hide. Like, if you certain parts of the page wouldn't load, and when that certain part of the page wouldn't load, it would cause the whole page to spaz out. But if you just use Firebug tools to tell it don't load those pages, it was mostly around the affiliated and like related content, you could go through the checkout process fine.
You could also, TechCrunch said you could use the smiles.amazon.com subdomain. Everything worked.
Hmm.
So I don't know if that was a DNS routing issue or what, but...
I think probably the thing that did like the referral for like related products and other stuff, I think that was spazzing out because everything else worked fine.
Didn't have an elegant failure
for
those parts of the page. So you might think, well... That must have screwed them. Like how many sales do you lose in the first 45 minutes of Prime Day? And
Bezos laughed all the way to the bank.
Yeah, terrible times. But it turns out Jeff Bezos becomes the richest man in modern history. Now, you might be saying, wait a minute. Jeff Bezos was already the richest man in the world. No. Not richest man in the world. Richest man in modern history. I think Bill Gates at one point was richer than Jeff Bezos has ever gotten to. And since gave away most of his money. But now, in modern history, no one has ever been richer than Jeff Bezos.
So like all those steel barons that did all those terrible things and all that, Jeff Bezos far exceeds them.
I believe that's even adjusted for inflation.
Wow.
Which is incredible.
Totally not Lex Luthor.
And this came on the back of Prime Day. It was actually a huge success. It was the biggest day of retail sales ever, or online sales ever. So...
Yeah.
Pretty this incredible.
Sort of crazy. He needs to just buy Tesla and help. It's like...
I don't think Musk could ever handle that. He couldn't give up control.
Yeah, that's probably true.
He couldn't handle having a boss, I don't think.
I think Musk is naive, though, that like if Jeff Bezos was Lex Luthor, that... Because I don't think Musk is evil. But I think that Musk working for Jeff Bezos would see him as like... a good guy and would work real hard for him. But Musk would have no idea that he's actually, like, building the machinery for World War III or world domination or whatever.
Well, there actually is a story about that. But, he's not... I think it's very rare that anybody sees themselves as evil. Like, yeah. I don't think Hitler saw himself as evil. So, of course Musk thinks he's doing the right thing.
Speaking of people that don't think they're evil, let's talk about Facebook.
And Google.
And Microsoft.
And Twitter. This is, I guess this is a good thing. I can't see too much wrong with this. The one thing I think is good about this is it lets the replacement for Facebook come into the world.
Because you can transfer your data off the Facebook platform?
Right. Think about it. Like right now, you can never compete with Facebook because everybody's got all their stuff on Facebook and all their friends are there and they've got all, they're invested into it. But now with this new project, you could pull your entire Facebook identity and I can, knowing what that data looks like, build an import for it on my website.
So, pro Fortune 500 deflection tip, what if building this facility allows you to deflect future Cambridge Analytica scandals in the future where it's like, hey, users elected to move their data off our platform. We had nothing to do with that.
That's true, yeah. And I think that is a big part of what this is doing. It's like they're fighting that. They're hearing those antitrust monopoly bells ringing, yeah, and they're doing anything they can to silence them.
Yeah.
So the idea here is you can pull your data off of any of these platforms and go to another platform. If Microsoft were to build a social media platform, you're like, I love Microsoft. I want to go there. You can take all your existing stuff, move it over to there. No problem.
If you want... The last time this happened was the Microsoft Office file formats. So you should go read a quick summary of what happened when Microsoft opened up the Microsoft Office file formats. The short version is we still don't have anything that can correctly understand the Microsoft Office file formats other than Microsoft Office.
Well, Uber, you know, we talked about Uber last time with their gender lawsuit. Another thorn in their paw, you might say, is that New York has decided that Uber drivers are not contractors. They are employees, at least in terms of unemployment.
Wow. But Uber is not happy about that.
Very, very unhappy about this. You know who's ecstatic about it? Taxi unions. They're the ones who pretty much got this pushed through. But a couple of guys sued them. They got dismissed by Uber. They don't call it firing. It's just like removed from the network, I think is what they call it. And they were like, well, I'm unemployed now, so I should get unemployment insurance, right? And Uber says, no, you know, you weren't an employee, but New York has decided, yes.
So. Now, there's an interesting nuance to this in that I think New York is one of the states that has underemployment laws. And so, like, if you have a full-time, I don't know, but it's, as I understand it, that if you work for somewhere like Walmart or wherever, and you work 40 hours a week, and then they take you down to, like, 20 hours a week, but you need 40 hours a week to work, you can still apply for unemployment to make up the difference because you're working less than you expect.
But with Uber, in a market like New York, do you think there's a constant ability to pull fares?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like they may have opened Pandora's box with this ruling because, you know, during the non-busy times, there may be so many Uber drivers during the busy times that it's not possible for all of the Uber drivers to get as much driving as they want.
And that's kind of the appeal of Uber, is that you can just turn it off whenever you want, but now you have to clock a certain amount of hours a week, I guess, to get to qualify for all these benefits. That sort of changes that dynamic. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Uber is, of course, hoping to appeal it and fight it, and who knows, maybe we'll get another.
They're going to go the Amazon route and help people like get their own fleet of trucks and stuff. That Amazon story from a couple of weeks ago is very, very related to this story where Amazon is like, we want independent owner operators for the fleet vehicles, but we don't want to open up this employment Pandora's box because you can't make money. I mean, like if you could do it algorithmically and pay the state and federal taxes and the appropriate amount of benefits and whatever, Amazon would be crazy not to do it. But the game for rubes that want to do this is that you can't actually reasonably employ people to do this, so you have to have them chasing a carrot.
Well, speaking of Amazon, they've stricken fear into the hearts of all of their competitors. And maybe number one among them is Walmart. And when you're Walmart, you need an online cloud presence and you need all this technology to try and catch up. Who do you go to? Well, you can't go to Amazon.
So Microsoft, they get Azure. Azure, I'm so sorry, Walmart. I am so sorry.
So they're going to be using Azure in the cloud, and they're going to be doing some other things to try and, gimmicky things, apps and so forth to get people to Walmart. They're going to be doing a online shipping type deal. I think they're already doing that. So
it could work. I mean, honestly, I don't know why I don't know why Walmart hasn't made better use of their delivery infrastructure, because, I mean, think about like Amazon 5 or 10 years ago. Walmart had better distribution centers, better logistics, better product handling, better like layaway and, like service desk pickup, like online ordering pickup. How did Amazon screw this up? I mean, how did Walmart screw this up? Because they were ahead internally in every way. It just wasn't accessible to the public.
See, I wonder if Walmart is trying to be something that they're not. Because, I mean, you think about Walmart, you think about a certain kind of customer. I think that's pretty obvious. Most people know that. And remember when McDonald's was like, yeah, we're going to get into these artisan burgers.
That did not work out for them.
No, because when you go to McDonald's, you're not looking for an artisan burger. And when you go to Walmart, you're not looking for a state-of-the-art shopping experience. You're looking for mountain lightning. And
in my case, I want to get in and out as fast as possible. Yeah.
So I think they need to cater more to their demographic. But maybe they don't see a future in that. I don't know.
The BBC has a great story about Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix, I was thinking about this story when I was thinking about the Tesla thing, because Netflix made $360-some million this last earnings report, but they didn't grow. And when you don't grow, well, they did grow. They grew like $5 million, but that wasn't what was expected. And when that happens, people are just like, you're done. It's over. So, yeah, they lost quite a bit of stock value as they reported poor growth.
Well, it couldn't have anything to do with the fact they raised prices, could it?
I wonder about that. I've noticed on Netflix that I'm kind of saturated right now. Like, I've watched everything I want to watch on Netflix, so I could easily turn it off for a month or two.
They also have multiple plans now. So, like, the family plan. Like, the regular plan is, like, you can have two streams at the same time, and, like, family plan is, like, five, but then some of them are HD, and I don't know what the rules are now. I'm on the lowest plan.
They're like the wireless carriers.
Yeah.
They got all these confusing plans, and it burns you out. But what the analysts are blaming it on is, much like Tesla, Netflix has not had competitors so far.
You know what would probably work for Netflix is, like, if you could give Netflix extra money, and if you didn't, you could use the extra money for, like, value-add things, but if you didn't use anything, you could put it toward, like, getting free, quote-unquote, DVD box sets and things like that. So it's like, I haven't watched any Netflix or done anything for that. I've got, 10 Netflix bucks. Oh, I could get the complete, seven seasons of, like, Monk or something, and they'll just mail it to me. And that's actually just their old mailer DVDs that they don't need anymore.
They would eat through those pretty quickly, I think. And
it's for the premium Netflix customers, so I mean.
But I think a lot of the people who sign up and forget about it are a big part of their revenue.
I know somebody that they budget like $80 or $90 a month is their entertainment budget, and most of that goes towards like iTunes and Netflix and whatever, but it's like hard at like $90. And so they will cancel and uncancel Netflix, and then they'll like buy a season pass on iTunes, and then they'll buy like a DVD box set, and that actually works really well. Like I'm surprised at how much media that they're able to get access to on $90 a month. Their media collection is very impressive.
That's a lot of micromanagement, though.
Yeah, it really is.
You got to have time.
We got to do an app to do that.
That would immediately get banned by every.
Well, what if Netflix did it? Like, Netflix is like, okay, we're gonna partner with Amazon and actually just let you buy stuff if you don't watch a lot of stuff.
So, are you saying, like, I could see it's a monthly fee, but then you pay, like, 99 cents per view?
Yeah.
And if you don't use it, rolls over?
Yeah, it rolls over and accumulates. And they'll give you a discount on box sets and stuff that you can actually buy or downloads. So, you can download this into, not iTunes, obviously, because Apple's not going to play ball with that.
Amazon could do that and let you build toward it when you take the cheap shipping.
Yeah.
Amazon should do that.
Pro new business tip.
Pro Lex Luthor tip. well, one business thing that you might count on and may have built software that heavily relies on is going to be taken away from you, sadly.
Oh, this Google Maps API BS is going to give me, like, I'm already sick. I'm just going to pass out on the floor over here.
They give you, so Google Maps is going on a pay plan, but they're going to give you $200 a month, which $200 a month for map API queries, that's pretty generous.
But there's a catch.
There is a huge catch, which is always the catch when you sign up for free, right? Like,
yeah.
Everything where it's like, get 3 months for free and try it out. And you're like, yeah, that sounds good. And you get to a certain point, and what do they ask for? A credit card.
So you have to have a credit card on file. Otherwise, you don't get an API key. But you get $200 of usage for free. But if you go over that, it bills your credit card. There's no option to just be like, I don't bill. Just make my app stop working. I don't care.
Which seems, I mean, that would be so easy to implement.
I guess don't be evil. They're really taking the abandonment of that very seriously.
Yeah. So if, you know, that's one of those things where, let's say you've got a little blog somewhere and you've got a Google map on it for whatever reason, and something you created goes viral, you might get a $5,000 bill from Google at the end of the month.
Can't confirm, as somebody who set up an experiment on like Azure or Amazon or something, that's like, I only want this to run for a day, and I didn't click the wrong thing, and then at the end of the month, it's like, oh, $700, that's cool. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so that's sad, because Google Maps is such a convenient thing, and you're going to have, maybe, I imagine you could get like a burner, like a prepaid card.
It's also worth mentioning that this year is the year that two or three Google Maps competitors that offered reasonably okay API access to map data have gone out of business.
It's funny because on Zillow, because, you know, I'm always looking at houses, they use Bing. But if, because one of the features that all the other real estate sites have is they'll let you plot directions from your workplace to your new house, and how long that's going to take, and, you know, all the details about the trip. Bing can't do directions. So when you click the directions button on the Bing map, you go to Google Maps.
That's really funny.
I should have put this next story with the other Amazon thing. I missed that. And also, yes, we realize this is probably not the best source for this news story. The World Socialist website. But the story is not so much to me about the police attacking the strikers, which probably did happen. I don't have trouble believing that in Spain. But that on Prime Day, there was a concerted strike at the Amazon factories in
Europe.
Spain, I think it was all across Europe, wasn't it? Like, yes. Germany had some?
Yep. Well, in Spain, they got beat up. The police just beat the crap out of them.
Yeah.
Because in Spain, the economy is real bad, and it's like, you don't do anything to mess with the economy.
Right, yeah. So they were escorting the scabs to and from, so that the strikers couldn't mess with them, and eventually they got bored of that and just beat them savagely. So, yeah. It's, you know, you read so much about how bad things are at Amazon. But my initial response to that is, don't work at Amazon, right? And I guess some people are...
In Spain, you might not have a choice.
Yeah, and the economy is real bad. And they probably moved some warehouses there for that reason. But still, I don't know. They want a lot of... Actually, they're fighting... Amazon is so powerful in Spain because, you know, again, the economy is crap. They were able to do... let's look at the list of things. It's pretty... horrific what they're doing. Lower wage increases, no more pay increases based on seniority, 25% reduction in sick pay, two-tier wage system for new hires, and cuts to overtime for extraordinary hours, including holiday and night shifts.
We don't have a story about it, but this has been the trend. Like, this is one of the hallmarks of like a collapsing economy, because there was a story, another story about some people that work at a company donating their paid time off to another coworker for maternity leave. And it's like, those are not feel good stories. Those are stories about how your society has failed and probably corrective action needs to be taken. And so, like, these stories are, people should not have to live under these conditions.
But at the same time, I have 3 Prime packages coming tomorrow.
They damn well better get here.
Yeah. So I can't really take the high road here, because I'm going to shop with Amazon because it's so convenient.
And I don't want to deal with people. I need my packages.
It's such a good experience. And, you know, there might be a little blood on those boots that are bringing me my packages, but I sure like getting those packages.
I'm going to make tea and crumpets for my UPS man.
Well, the warehouse people are the ones who are really suffering.
Don't care.
I think UPS has a pretty decent...
Yeah. Yeah, UPS is pretty good from ours.
Which is why Amazon is trying to do the the contractors. this story amazed me, and they seem like they got a good response. I don't know, but the Washington Post, and here we go with our Amazon. If you didn't know, Washington Post owned by Bezos, history's richest man, and so the Washington Post, where are they going for their new audience? Twitch.
Well, I would believe that streaming on Twitch would net them more money than newspaper subscriptions. Like, that's believable.
You think people would donate to the Washington Post on Twitch?
I think so.
Subscribe?
I mean, it's the new Washington Post for, you know, millennials in this generation. I don't know.
Well, the millennials are, like, the Washington Post is very lefty. And the millennials seem to be, you know, primarily left-leaning, so I guess it's covering the news they want to hear.
Now, the really dangerous situation that we get into is not that, but when the Washington Post decides to run a story that is, say, inflammatory or a little bit of an echo chamber, the people that are into that kind of an echo chamber are probably going to throw lots of bits at the Washington Post, and that's maybe going to create a dangerous feedback loop.
That will certainly make them, you know, the confirmation bias. Once you can directly monetize confirmation bias, that's going to be nothing but.
It ends badly.
There's going to be like a 24-hour stream of just Trump jokes.
Yeah, and they will make millions of dollars from it.
Well, I'll tell you who's not going to make, well, they'll make millions of dollars, but maybe not the number of millions that they had hoped, and that's Comcast, because they've been beaten by
Disney.
A certain mouse.
Disney's acquiring Fox, like Thanos is acquiring Infinity Stones. Ah.
Except there's just one.
No, Disney's acquired a lot of other stuff the last couple of years.
Oh, that's true. And Fox, now, I thought they had already gotten the Fox assets, but I don't understand it.
Comcast stepped in at the last second and was like, but wait, there's more. And so Disney had to up their bid.
And they did. And $71 billion, that's quite a bit. They don't get Fox News or Fox Business. I think they do get sports.
And nothing of value is lost.
So if they get Fox Sports, that's going to be ESPN and Fox Sports under the same umbrella. Somebody's going away.
ESPN 8, the Ocho.
So yeah, that's make room for more stuff at Disney. I only cursed. This was a Krista story, I think. Did you add this one?
No, I did not add this. Yeah. I thought this belonged in the nonsense section.
I don't. WeWork is apparently, I had to look this up, they're a company that rents out space. Like, so you can...
Co-working space?
I think it's sort of like, you know, on-demand workspace. So if you're like a contractor or something and you just need some place to go that's got internet access and air conditioning, then you can sort of just like dial up some space and then they'll manage that.
This story did make me angrier than it... Like, I was like, why am I so angry about this?
Well, they're pandering to the base, and so they're getting rid of meat. You're not allowed to have vending machines with any meat products. They're not catering meat in the buildings.
It's a red meat, pork, and poultry.
It's all meat, yeah.
They didn't say anything about fish.
Oh, that's true. Well, fish is kind of a borderline thing. I can't think that you get... Is there any vending machine that has fish in it?
There are vending machines that have sushi.
Really?
You get the little packages of sushi.
Oh, I would not trust that.
It's like truck stop egg salad sandwich. It's like you roll the dice a little bit, but yeah.
Heavily weighted dice. I wouldn't go for that. Anyway.
You end up like this.
They're anti-meat, and you can't have meat in any of their workplaces.
We got a lot of gaming news this week.
Yeah, we do. And starting out, Valve, merciless, has banned 90,000 Steam accounts because of VAC.
These are the VAC bans. These are the unappealable bans.
Right, yeah, it's just over.
And the fact that they banned 90,000 makes me think that they haven't been doing their job for a very, very long time.
Well, I think that
seems like a lot.
They kind of do that. They do them in waves. Because I think what happens is after they do a wave of bans, the people who were using the software that got banned know that that's a bannable software now, and they stop using it.
I only know of one VAC ban that was reversed, and it was one of the engineers for VMware. And it was like one of the machines that he was working on something on, and Valve was like, no, this is terrible. He's like, I'm a VMware engineer. That's why I had this. And they were like, oh, okay.
So, yeah, be careful. Counter-Strike, Rust has it. Dota 2, I think, has it. There's a handful of games with the VAC system on Steam, and don't cheat, because they'll catch you.
Battlegrounds has BattleEye, which is not effective.
Certainly not. Maybe they should look into VAC. I don't know. It doesn't seem like they want to spend money on their product anymore. Because they're like, we're only making tens of millions, man. We should be making hundreds. Well, Amazon, again, another Amazon story. So Amazon's got the third-party sellers. And you'll have a bad experience with some third-party sellers one time. I was looking at replacement batteries for my fob for my car.
Oh, yeah, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, and I read like two or three reviews, and they're like, yeah, they opened this and put a dead battery in it and shipped it to me. And so I was like, oh, okay, I'll go to Meijer and get that. But this is kind of that same situation. In this case, somebody bought a GOG version of this game.
Good old games. Which doesn't have DRM.
Yeah.
Which is great. Good job, GOG.
They did. Now, the GOG has the GOG installer, though. So you know if you bought it from GOG. Well, these ne'er-do-wells built their own installer, but they left a lot of the traces of the GOG stuff there.
This was a half-assed scam.
But it worked. They sold this, what was the name of this game?
Frostpunk.
Yeah,
and some other games for $3 instead of $30. So they just totally ripped everybody off.
Yeah. Now, in Frostpunk, this developer, I can't remember what developer this is, 11-Bit Studios, they, in their defense, are going to honor these games. Wow. And they're actually going to try to figure out a way for these people to get a legit version.
Wow.
Of the game.
That's good on them, but that's not like this. Actions like that are especially damaging to the gaming community, and we in the gaming community should do whatever we can to track down that person and make sure that they go to court or stand trial or whatever, because it adds fuel to the argument for game companies to put really super egregious DRM in their games. And GOG is one of the very few companies that, you know, it's not DRM, it trusts the user, it's very good. But when you do this kind of egregious piracy abuse, it should be grounds for the electric chair.
Yeah, the cool thing about GOG is if it's DRM, they just don't sell it.
Yeah.
You have to agree to have just an installer. They've got their own little Steam-like thing, but you don't have to use it.
It takes a special kind of evil to abuse that.
For $3 a copy, too, they couldn't have made much. Good news is, it was quickly caught. As soon as somebody brought the attention to from the 11-bit people, they contacted Amazon. It was taken down quickly. They have to know where that money went, so yeah. I'm sure that'll be turned over to law enforcement.
God, I hope so. Well, yeah. String him up by his toes.
Speaking of game studios that maybe a lot of people thought should be strung up by their toes or possibly other extremities.
No Man's Sky was back in the news this week.
They've I don't know if anybody's seen it in play yet, but they claim.
Don't trust it.
Full multiplayer.
Don't trust it. I don't believe it.
Some other features, space fleets and freighters and bigger bases and so forth.
So that stuff that we were promised at launch is coming 2 years later?
They're also going to launch the game for consoles.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So.
Well played.
I don't know. I mean, we're often pretty desperate for games to play on Twitch because
we'll revisit it
because we don't know what to play, but will we? I don't know, maybe we will.
Oh, this news is delightful. This would definitely belong in nonsense.
Well, it's social media, so I think it's not nonsense though, because it's something that should have happened and did. Well, although it's nonsense that it took this long.
Yes, it's definitely nonsense that it took this long. So if you haven't seen this channel, you remember the Daddy05 channel, it's now Family05. If you haven't seen that, like, you probably should just not go watch it.
Well, you can't now.
Well, I'm sure that there's archives of it somewhere online.
Yeah,
but this really represents the worst of humanity.
Yeah. So if you haven't heard of it or seen it, it was a family with 5 children.
Well, now 3.
I think they should be banned from YouTube just for that.
2 of the children were taken away for these videos.
Yeah. So they had some older kids and some younger kids, and for the most part, they pranked the younger kids because they were easy to prank.
Prank in the sense of, like, Jackass, the TV series.
Well, a lot of it was, there was some physical abuse, but mostly just mental abuse. Like, accusing a five-year-old of something that he didn't do and not accepting his...
That you know he didn't
his
do.
His plea that he was innocent and telling that he was going to be in trouble. And watching a five-year-old just descend into tears and be completely crushed because he's innocent and he's being subjected to a punishment. And then after 5 minutes of that, being like, oh, it's just a joke. And then putting that on YouTube. Like, that's what we're dealing with.
Those kids are going to be serial killers.
And can we blame them when they are? You know, I think probably they'll just go to crack. But even then, I'm not sure that we can hold it against them necessarily.
And of course, the YouTube algorithm is like, you'll probably like this. It's like...
But yeah, they're off YouTube. Oh, I've clicked a thing.
We almost made it through the episode without the ads getting in the way.
Oh, well, I can read the... Oh, here we go, here we go. Yes.
Oh, the British Airways story. Man, you guys should have already seen this because this was everywhere. British Airways, like, so GDPR, right? Like, protecting people's data? Oh, man.
Well, this is a two-pronged assault on GDPR. Two horrible things. One, which I think they knew they were doing and were trying to get away with. And one was just some Twitter person being an absolute moron. So what tipped this guy off to contact British Air on Twitter was he found he could not submit his airline information.
Because GDPR.
He was trying to reserve something on a flight and it wouldn't submit. So he was a developer and he started looking into it. And I was like, hey, look at all these things that are being blocked by my ad blocker. So he turned that off and he submitted and it worked. And the reason was because British Airways was sharing marketing data with so many companies that are known to be, you know, tracking you, that his ad blocker was blocking the trackers. And you can't reserve a flight unless you allow yourself to be tracked. It's not in the text or anything, but just the way the website works, you can't do it.
Well, the web developers in the audience just puckered their a little bit. Yeah, it's bad. It's real bad.
So that's strike one. That's bad. So he contacts Twitter, British Airways Twitter, and he's like, hey, look what I found. And their response was, can you reply with your passport number and your, you know, all of your personal information and your address and your payment info? And they didn't say direct message. They just said reply with. So then he looked in their history and he saw that that was their, that's how they did it. That was their MO. And people were replying in public view with all of this information. And they said, you have to do that because GDPR. I mean, what can you say about that?
That's a level of stupid that makes me want to pass out.
And that's not even the cold medicine. Oh, here we go. The browser's it's on its last legs. But we'll get through three more stories.
Facebook, in the case of the Crimson Hexagon, it reads like an Arthur Conan Doyle novel.
Yeah, the Crimson Hexagon. Like, how do you think they came up with that name?
I think that it was probably like Palantir. It's like kind of a nod to the evilness of their corporation.
I suppose, but yeah. Crimson Hexagon sounds like kind of like a death metal band, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So this was a government agency or government, well, not a government agency.
They worked with the government agencies.
They
had contracts from them.
And they had access to the data. It worked differently than the Cambridge Analytica data, but they maybe had access to data they shouldn't have.
It was similar, yeah. But what Facebook has discovered that this data was being used by the government. I discovered. They probably already knew, right? But that also turns out these guys had a similar deal with Twitter, what Twitter calls the fire hose. It's like the fire hose of metadata that you can get if you have a partnership with them. And this, I think Facebook stopped this or noticed that something might be wrong because of the ICE stuff.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these agencies are using this metadata to try to find the undocumented people.
It's a... This is just suspended pending investigation, but it's not actually shut down completely. So they may turn it back on.
But it does show that Cambridge-like things are still going on at Facebook.
Yes.
And enough that internally they're getting scared.
Yeah.
And looking really hard at some of these.
Well, Zuck was back in the news this week again just because he was interviewed somewhere or something. And it was like, you know, who do we blame for this? Who do we blame? And at first it sounded like he was going to have a very mature response for that. He's like, you know, this is a systemic thing. These features are sort of built into the platform. And then they were like, well, you know, who should be fired? And he finally just said, well, if anybody's going to be fired, it should be me.
And the interviewer followed up with, okay, you should be fired. Are you going to fire yourself? And he said, not right now.
Of course.
Yes, I don't think he will.
No. Well, I mean, this is the closest that he's come, I think, in this what has been published about this interview to saying literally what we've been saying since day one of the scandal, which is Facebook was literally designed to do exactly what happened here. How hard is that to understand?
And if you're a shareholder, that's what you expect.
Yeah. Because
that's the only way the company's going to make money.
Yeah. So Motherboard also got its hands on some juicy, delicious, leaked documents regarding Facebook.
Yeah, this is... So we've always known that Facebook will turn off your group page or shut down your account or whatever if you do certain things. But it was always kind of up in the air. The big... the interview that we just talked about, one of the big things from that was the Holocaust denial thing.
Yeah.
So they talked about, it's like, well, what if someone is a Holocaust denier on Facebook? And his response was, well, I don't think they're doing it maliciously, or I think they believe what they're saying or whatever.
So we're just going to de-emphasize
it. Which means it wouldn't be a bannable offense, and people got real upset about that. So this document kind of lays out where the line is in terms of when to turn things off. And like with sexual nudity type stuff, you get, I think, 2 strikes. For political fake news, you get 9 in a 30-day period. And they've just got all these arbitrary rules about how much is too much of each offense, which is interesting.
It is worth a look if you're interested in things going on that platform. If you're in marketing, you should definitely take a look at this because it tells you exactly what you can get away with.
Yeah, you think that the fake news people will adjust their algorithms? It's like, all right, so we're gonna post fake news on Monday, and then Tuesday through Thursday it's just going to be fluff pieces. And then Friday we're going to hit 2 fake newses. We're going to hit hard on Friday. And then we'll wait till the next Tuesday again.
Yeah, I think they're going to start adopting a strategy. Patton Oswalt, I think, did this originally in 2013, where he would tweet something, and then it was one of 2 tweets. And so like he would set something up in the first tweet, and then the second tweet taken by itself was like the most highly offensive thing ever. Like it was insane how offensive it was. But the first tweet was like, I would never say something like. And then the next thing is, you know, Hitler did nothing wrong or whatever. And that has been an hilarious experiment because a lot of people are catching the second tweet but not realizing the context of the first tweet that sets it up for the second tweet. And so I think the fake news people will probably adopt the same strategy just from reading this Motherboard article.
I think that still gets you a strike, though.
Yeah, well, but... It's not, you could argue that it wasn't intentional, but it was totally intentional. I mean, not really, I don't know, satire? I don't know how you...
Well, Facebook doesn't have the character limit, so it's harder to...
It's harder to justify that. Yeah, Patton Oswalt did, I mean, he did it with like within the character limits and everything. It was brilliant.
Oh, the browser just crashed, but luckily that was our last story, so we don't need it. It's going to be tough to do the one tab now.
That's the end of the level one news for Wednesday. And gosh, we are really slow getting the news out, but it's okay because I'm dying.
Yeah, and coming up on Friday, we got a healthy dose of nonsense on Friday. We've also got security and... Did we do AI yet?
I don't think we did.
Did we do robots? Yeah, we did. No, did we? I don't know. Maybe AI and robots. I've lost count, but...
We'll see Friday.
It'll be something quality, so check us out.